feel like every time I get to share with you guys to preach, it's more so like story time with Cole. So just buckle up, story time. So I remember Thanksgiving pretty vividly as a kid. Whether I spent time in Nashville with one side of my family, i.e. I'm from Tennessee, by the way, if you didn't know that. I don't have much of an accent, but I've got some. I spent time in Nashville with one side of my family or staying in Knoxville with the other side of my family. I remember these very vividly, although they were pretty distinctly different, if we're honest. One side was filled with like 40-plus people, with folks you've never met before because they just got randomly invited to this house. You ended up having like 40, 50 people, and you're like, oh, okay, cool, this is great. And the other one was kind of a small, more intentional kind of group, but good nonetheless. The thing the both of these had in common was that we had to set the table. Again, though, with this table, there were differences. One was filled with a bunch of forks and spoons that I had never used before and or never seen before. There was nice china that I was afraid I would break and serving dishes that also I was afraid I would break. The other was filled with paper plates and a buffet style with likely us eating something that was hunted the previous week. And it was often a day of surprise. So 1 week it's pheasant and the other it is turkey and then others. It's slightly confusing. But both spaces hold fond memories for me. I miss them in many ways. The image of my family gathered together around a table, laughing, sharing. But growing up, things get different. Kids grow up, they move away. Loved ones who were foundational to that table pass away. The table now that is set is filled with all sorts of emotions, and we feel that. We look around with grief, realizing someone will not be there this year. Maybe they haven't been there for a while. It's days like this that even in our gratitude and thankfulness, there is grief. And even in our cultural moment, there is grief of the polarization in our lives. It's always been difficult to encounter difference, but man, there's just something so heavy about right now. Relationships have been fractured. They've been divided. So how do we set a table in a time like this? One of the things that have changed in my experience with Thanksgiving and the interactions with my family, especially ever since I went into ministry, was I am now the pastor. My job is very clear. If I'm at home, I prep and cook a turkey, or it doesn't matter where I am, I bless the meal because I am the pastor. I guess I kind of resented that in the beginning. I don't know, it seems might weird, might be kind of weird, but now I've kind of embraced it. I find it such a kind of an honor to do. It's a chance for me to thank our gracious and good God for all that he has provided, and to ask for a blessing on this community I'm a part of, this table I'm at, and to bless the future of our time together. Yeah, if we're honest though, the hard part comes after. See, after this incredible and just life-changing prayer every year, right? You have to kind of live that out. You can't just say it and not do it. See, for not only are we to pray for blessing, but in the Spirit's power, we are to be a blessing. This reality is discussed all throughout the New Testament, even the Old. The act of blessing follows living out the blessing to the world. So how might we set a table of blessing, or a precedent of blessing, or have a posture of blessing in our days? I think 1 Peter Chapter 3 has some stuff to tell us, some good things to, some things to put in our, well, I would say put in our pocket, just some things to actually do. Don't put them in your pocket, forget it, but do. We are called to cultivate and embody a life of blessing to each other, the church, family, and to our neighbors. Even in times of tension and times of hostility. So here's 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. For as the psalmist says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Pray with me. Father, we ask that you would bless this time. Teach us, O Lord. Show us a way forward. Show us the way to be a blessing. And we know that we can only do this through Spirit, your power, and because of Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are to be a blessing. We're to be a blessing to each other, even in tensions. I mean, let's be honest. There's always something we don't talk about at the table. A blessing to our neighbors, even in hostility. This is who we're called to be, a blessing. See, this passage comes at the end of Peter's household codes section in this letter. Household codes can be found in both Ephesians and Colossians, and they, in some ways, just discuss what the family of God is to look like and to act like. What is unique about this particular section in Peter, though, is that we see this ending argument as one of disposition, one of posture. Peter is saying this is what the people of God are to embody. It starts with the church and how we're to love each other, and then it takes a turn to our surrounding neighbors and gives us a similar charge. This passage doesn't allow us to sit back and point fingers at one another. It tears down unnecessary divisions, and it calls us to cultivate a posture of blessing and a deep love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, while also cultivating a posture of blessing, not cursing, our neighbors. All this in the midst of tension and strife and hostility. Quickly, what do I mean by blessing? What I don't mean here has to do with being rich or gaining wealth or sowing some seed of blessing, right? That's not where I'm at here. And also what I don't mean is a life without suffering, because Peter, if you've read 1 Peter, it's pretty clear in this letter that that might just be the inevitable. But what I mean about blessing is that it's your presence. Your posture is one that seeks the good of the other. Not to harm, but to invite and to welcome. Creating a space for them in your life. Creating a space for them at your table. And Peter here tells us how that posture should be lived out. Let's take a look at the five characteristics that we see. One is unity of mind, a common pattern of thought. Luke often uses the phrase of one heart and one soul, together, unity. Not uniformity, unity. Two, sympathy, a proclivity and attitude bent towards mercy, especially towards the weak, the poor, the oppressed, the vulnerable, the distressed among us and around us. Three, brotherly love, a deep familial love, one that views each other as family, worthy of love, worthy to be known, to be seen, and a part of the whole, a place, a people to belong to. A tender heart, a people of compassion and tenderness. The Greek word image here is a physiological one. It's this loving deep from your gut. Like Jude used to always laugh when I'd say gut. It's kind of funny. I don't think he's doing it now. But loving deep within you. And lastly, a humble mind. The ability to count others as more significant than ourselves. Looking not only to one's interest, but the interest of others, as Philippians tells us. A willingness to listen, to learn, to be wrong, to grow. In a time such as this, where the polarizing effects of our politics or our ability to grapple with what is truth, where anonymity on the internet can produce the worst in all of us. You know, this is not just happening in the world, it's happening at our tables. So what would our lives look like if we cultivated this posture? What if the posture of our tables today and every day were set with tenderness, with humility, with love, and a willingness to understand one another, to listen? And what if we could pass this on to our children? And as one of my friends once put it, he said, what if we were known less for pulling up weeds and rather for planting beautiful gardens? What if we were this type of people? Because Jesus tells us in John 13 that by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This type of love not only serves the church, but it shows the world who Jesus is. For it is in living this way we are declaring how much we have been blessed. For our God supplies all our needs by the riches of his glory in Christ. In Jesus, we are loved more than we could ever thought possible. And the person sitting next to you is loved more by God than you ever could. So friends, we bear with one another in this season and in every season. We forgive. We love deeply. We seek peace with one another. We seek to understand. We seek to be humble. It is in those acts that we are blessed and are a blessing to one another. But there's also a blessing to the world. Before going to seminary, I worked in the hospitality industry for over 10 years. That's a fancy way of saying I worked in a restaurant. I worked in the front where people eat, and I worked in the back where people prep and cook food. The last few years, I was a butcher, and I worked on the grill. And at the restaurant, there was this huge window that I was at, and I always got to people watch. It was a very fascinating situation. So whenever I was frustrated, I just watched people just go by. Anyways, whatever. The last few years working there, I was attending a church that met on Sunday evenings. So I would work the Sunday lunch shift. The waiters that worked that shift often dreaded it. And if I'm honest, I did a little bit too. But why? Because it was the Sunday church crowd. I know. It's weird. I'm a pastor saying this. Whatever. Anyways. But if you think it's only my experience, just know that there was a website created in 2014 called Sundays Are the Worst. This site was created by a pastor after he heard many stories from those who worked in the service industry, and he invited them to share their story on his site, and the site is still up. It was originally sparked by a viral receipt of a pastor who wrote, "I give the Lord 10%, why should I give you 18%? Pastor ultimately ended up apologizing, but it still sparked this viral response of what is it, a very public response about what is generosity in the church and even in this simple thing of tipping in our restaurants. And many of the stories shared on this site were not unlike those I was often told by the servers I worked with. Stories filled with rude people, those who were never satisfied, unrealistic expectations, and would often not tip or not tip well. Studies have shown, though, that this is not necessarily universal. We Christians do tip. Actually, we're right in the middle of where we're supposed to be when it's good service. When it's bad service, we are the worst. 2010 Cornell study. But that's not necessarily a discussion we're having specifically about tipping, although tip. It's about a discussion I had with a server once. And she said this. She said, "I just don't understand. They go to church and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and apparently they just leave him there. Because when they are here, we get their spite, we get their anger. Every time they do a blessing over their food, I think, great, there goes my tip. You would think that I have a different reaction, but it's really just dread. See, we live our lives in a watching world. A world that can be hostile, yes, but that does not negate a posture of blessing, of peace, or of welcome. While I heard a lot of hard stories, I also heard good ones. You know, stories of tips being big enough to cover rent for a struggling single mom. Relationships being built to make a server feel a part of a family whose family was far away. I've seen gospel-saturated notes of encouragement that got a server through a really tough day. I've seen families come to know the hardships of a person and pray for them on the spot. And I've heard stories like, I've heard stories from servers who said, I intentionally didn't give the best service, and they still were so generous and kind to me. Why? It's one of the best questions you can get from people who don't know Jesus is why. See, in cultivating a life of blessing, we see people around us not as enemies, but people to be loved, people to be blessed. We do that from a foundation of being blessed. It is not always money that people need. Some need a place to belong, to be known, a place where they can be heard. One author says, love means foregoing the luxury of spiteful vengeance or calculated retaliation. He continues and says, in the antagonistic world in which 1 Peter was written, this entails opting out of concerns for preserving one's own status and reputation in society and refusing to participate in the give and take of the insult for insult game. This game that often helped define the conventional social relations of his day. Because according to Peter, Jesus has already put those words into practice. So it now falls to Jesus' followers to follow in his footsteps. What would our interactions with those who disagree with us look like if we did this? What would it look like to live in this way in the face of hostility? It's often hard to hate someone who is genuinely praying for you and seeks blessing for you. Christians should be the least offended people in the room and the most willing to bless and to bring blessing and a message of welcome, of hope, as Jesus so modeled for us. So how do you want to set your table today? Today, you and I get the opportunity to practice this around some sort of table. A table set with all kinds of tensions, of fears and grief and more. And we get the opportunity to be a blessing. We get the opportunity to bless. So friends, I pray you set your table with welcome, with great gratitude, for our Lord has blessed us greatly in Jesus. And I pray for the posture of blessing to be seen with both our words and with our hands and our feet. Let's pray. Lord, create in us a posture of blessing. Help us to bring unity, not division. Help us to seek love and seek to love each other as you have called us to do in tenderness and in humility. May our words and our lives be glorifying to you, that before a watching world, we would bear witness to the transforming power and peace found only in you. So Spirit, guide us in the way of blessing and the way of peace. Amen.